actually happened, or whether he had vision. Only God knows. I repeat, I know that this man was snatched to paradise. Again, I do not know whether this actually happened, or whether it was vision. Only God knows. And there he heard things which cannot be put into words, things that human lips may not speak. So I will boast about this man, but I will not boast about myself, except the things that show how weak I am. If I am wanted to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would not be telling the truth. But I will not boast, because I do not want anyone to have a higher opinion of me than he has of, as a result of what he has seen me do and heard me say. But to keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the many wonderful things I saw, I was given a physical, painful ailment which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me and keep me from being proud. 3 times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak." I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thank you for that reading. It's a strange reading, isn't it? A bit of a weird one. Paul is kind of defending his ministry and his identity, not just against those who argued with his ideas, but he was against those trying to bring his reputation as an apostle into disrepute. They were trying to sabotage his ministry. He knew that he'd been called by God. He was called on the road to Damascus, and that was a pretty definite calling, wasn't it? I think it's always a pity that some of us don't get that really definite calling like Paul did. I mean, to be struck blind and then led off somewhere in your sight to be restored and very clearly told what you had to do next. I don't like the struck blind bit, but I would really like to be definitely told what God wants me to do next. And sometimes it takes us a bit of a while to figure out what God wants us to do, doesn't it? We have to push doors, and sometimes they open, and sometimes they close, and we can't get through. So it would be great if God could be as clear with us as he was with Paul at that time. But Paul talks about this experience in the third person, as if he's talking about someone else. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. So he is talking about himself, but he doesn't talk about as if it is him, because he doesn't want to boast. So he didn't want to say, "Look what happened to me, I'm really special." He didn't want to boast. He talked about being caught up to the third heaven. And it's a bit of a funny thing, isn't it, the third heaven? I don't know about you, but I've only ever thought one heaven being around. So the third heaven was a bit perplexing to me. So when I was doing the research for this, I thought, what's he talking about, the third heaven? And I'm not sure whether his body went or just his spirit. But at that time, the Jewish belief was that heaven one was the sky, heaven two was the universe, and heaven three was the spiritual heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. In Acts 1, 10 to 11, Jesus is taken from us into heaven, and that third heaven he calls paradise. Many Christians believe that this is the place that believers go, believers in Christ go, when they die. And they stay there, a beautiful place, with our bodies, just our souls and our spirits, until the end of the world. And then Jesus will come again and we'll have new bodies, resurrected bodies, and will then enter the third heaven and live with God and Jesus forever. Paul seems to say that he went to paradise and reached the third heaven, but not actually that he was taken into it. And some people believe that paradise and heaven are the same place. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what I think about heaven. I only know that Jesus has promised that he will go and we can be with him and God. I'm only sure that it will be wonderful, and so I look forward to it. In the meantime, we have to enjoy the heaven that we have here on earth, even if it's only a small part of the kingdom to come. Anyway, Paul had been given revelation, and it made his faith more sure. And although he couldn't share that revelation with everyone, he was all the more determined to spread the gospel so that more and more people could be saved. Paul could have easily boasted, couldn't he? Imagine what Paul's CV would be like. It would have been fantastic, wouldn't it? I have established this, and this church. I've received many gifts from God, spiritual gifts, gifts from the Holy Spirit. I've performed loads of signs and wonders, and he could have given examples of those signs and wonders. He performed miracles. If he had told everybody how fantastic he was, boasting about his achievements, then people would focus on him, wouldn't they? They would focus on him, but actually, that wasn't what Paul was about. He was about people focusing not on what a great chap he was, but on Jesus. That's what he wanted them to focus on. Not himself, but on Jesus. Paul was chosen by God. But it tells us here that he still had problems. We too are chosen by God. But is there anybody here that doesn't have problems? No. We all have problems. Paul had a thorn in his side. I would really like to know what that thorn was, but we never find out in the Bible what that thorn was. It could have been an illness. It said in your reading that it was pain. It could have been a weakness, a constant temptation, maybe some form of depression that gave him mental pain. Because we don't know, we can't say, well, I'm okay, I don't know that. We all have our thorns. It could be a weakness that we continually struggle with. It could be a physical problem as we get older. There's more and more physical problems, it seems. Could be a mental problem, something psychological. And we all are humbled by those problems. They're a trial to us, and they make us more reliant on Jesus. We've got an old couple in the village where I live. They're well into their 90s. And they were in the day powerhouses of the church. They were missionaries in the Philippines and the Far East. They were missionaries. One of them was in a concentration camp in Japan when China took over her school when she was a child. They were great powerhouses of the church, but as they're getting older, things are more difficult. They're much more difficult than they used to be. But they still are there for us. They're still there if there's any problems. They're always the first to say, come round and have a coffee, and we'll pray with you. They're always the first to impart the fantastic wisdom that they have because of their life experiences. So there's never a time when we are too old or too frail to share with other people and be the true Christians that we need to be. There's never a time when we can't pass on the gospel message to someone else. We're always there, despite our physical problems. They're always ready to impart the wisdom that the Lord has given them, and always ready for spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. We need to be ready as well. We need to be ready, and we need to ask for them. We're told to keep on knocking. We keep knocking at the door. We need to keep asking for those spiritual gifts. Yeah. And when we get them, we could ask for our thorn to be removed. Paul was asking. He'd asked lots of times for his thorn to be removed. We could ask for our thorn to be removed. I think the main thing is that we realise we do have a thorn. And we know that because of that thorn, we can be more reliant on God. Yeah. When we get those spiritual gifts, we can use them. And it's so important to use them, because those spiritual gifts are given to us for the benefit of the whole church, for the body of Christ. And that's what we are. It doesn't matter what our weakness is. It doesn't matter what our thorn is, what we're going through. God will always give us sufficient grace to do what he wants us to do. In our weakness, we have more of his strength. So we won't moan about our weaknesses, but we rejoice in them. We won't boast about them, because they bring us closer to God. But we can be fully reliant on God. That can make us more effective disciples if we let them. When we're weak and feeling useless, we don't boast about the things we've accomplished. They're not ours to boast about. But we can boast about the things that God has accomplished. In spite of us, usually, I know that anything that I accomplish is in spite of me, that I'm privileged that God can use me. I remember when I was praying for people at Spring Harvest, and I went into the billiard room because I knew that the Holy Spirit would be there in the billiard room at 10:30, because it said so on the notices. So I went along to the billiard room, and they asked that people would come forward to pray with other people. So I felt a bit of a prompt. I didn't really want to do it, because I felt a bit, I'm just here to get what I can from the Holy Spirit. And I felt this bit of a nudge saying, come on, go forward, you can pray with other people. So I prayed with a lady who was called Maggie. I'm not breaking any confidences, because I'm sure nobody will know her. She came from Scotland anyway. And she said, I just need something from God. So I thought, well, Lord, just tell me what to say. So I prayed with her. The next thing I know, she's on the floor. And she just stayed on the floor for a long time, and like nobody catching when I was praying. So there she was on the floor, and I knelt down and I carried on praying over her. And suddenly she started laughing. And she laughed and she laughed and she laughed. And someone came over to see what was going on, and he prayed as well. And then she got up and she said, thank you for those prayers. And I said, well, I don't know what was going on there. And she said, well, the Lord knew that since my husband died 18 months ago, I have not laughed. And I just felt so privileged that I had been a vehicle that God could use to just impart that spiritual gift to her, that gift of laughter. I had no idea what was going on in her life. And I had to trust that God can still use me, despite the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. He knew what he was doing, and he can use us. So when we have those spiritual gifts, and something gives you a bit of a push to say, do that, just phone her up, just phone him up, just ask him around for coffee, just go and visit. When God pushes you to do those things, you need to respond. And when we feel weak, that is when we rejoice, because we can be more reliant on the Lord and rely on his strength and his spiritual gift.